Hi there, everybody. Winter driving season. I know it's raining today, but just work with me. All right. It is winter. Reckless drivers are everywhere. You've seen the accidents. Last week, we got two snowflakes. There were 17 pileups. If you are injured in an auto accident, there is one attorney you need to hire. It's David Feminino. Pick up the phone right now. You can talk to David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. 855-65-CRASH, getdavidgetpaid.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, blow it out your ass. Kill this song. There's no vibes. How could there be vibes, David? This team's dead. Hi, everybody. So listen, I can't do what the other shows have done. Namely, Morning Show. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to do this nonsense, and I don't think Rico is either. Up, you know, next man up, nothing to worry about. I don't know if John was all cracked out of his mind this morning or what that was. You're effed. There's your update. I'm Jeremy Otto.
Technically, it was denial. Montgomery News hadn't been out yet.
It's Aleem McNeil done for the year. It's Carlton Davis done unless you, at a minimum, made the NFC title game. And Montgomery's done. He can seek a second opinion, do whatever he wants. Even if the guy plays, he won't be David Montgomery. That's on top of the injuries. That's on top of everything you're dealing with. You don't have any bodies left. You don't get to keep saying next man up and continuum. Because the more you do it, the more it's just tough guy talk. It's cliche. The next guy up died. You don't get to say next guy. You're playing people that should be working at Blockbuster. Now you've lost your lead dog corner. Your lead is now a rookie. You did everything last offseason, so you never had to look at Vildor again. Cutscene. Hi, it's me again. You're down every linebacker you have. You're signing street free agents. Your entire D-line. Davenport, dead. McNeil, dead. Hutch, dead. Kaminsky, dead. Peku, dead. You want me to keep going? They're all dead. You're out of gas. You're out of bodies. And if there were two guys that you couldn't lose on defense, just couldn't lose them, no circumstances, it was Carlton Davis and Aleem McNeil. And they're both gone. One for the season, and he's going to miss the start of next year. Who are we kidding? And Carlton Davis is gone, and if everything goes well, no setbacks, everything's perfect, maybe he can play in the NFC title game after having not practiced and done anything for 6 weeks. Yeah, I'm sure that'll go great. So I'm just at a point where I think you're – what I've heard on this station all day is copium. I don't do it. It's got nothing to do with Dan Campbell. It's got nothing to do with Brad Holmes. This is as unfair as it gets, but the NFL doesn't care. This was your year. You were the best team in the league. It's been taken. It's not excuses. It's a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, Rico, your season got upended. Why? Injuries.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse.
Yeah. And here's the thing about Carlton Davis. I was talking with a friend. I didn't even think about this. Even if he comes back, Mike, with your jaws wired shut, he's going to be weak. He's going to lose weight. He won't be the same person in 6 weeks with jaws wired shut.
It's all
There's
copium.
Only so many protein drinks you can have.
Bro, you know what's going on. This town, this is the other side of euphoria phase. Now people will irrationally minimize the injuries because they can't face the truth, which is it has gone from me saying we are winning the Super Bowl to now. It would be a miracle to just get there. I mean, you've got like a 10% shot. It's unsustainable. I can't ask Aaron Glenn to put a good game plan out there. He doesn't have 11 NFL football players. Mm-mm. Straight up right here, right now, how many guys on this team are NFL football players on the defensive side of the ball? You got Brian Branch. You got Kirby Joseph. You got DJ Reader, who, by the way, Reader was awful yesterday. Yeah. Got absolutely
Arnold
bodied.
You got Arnold.
Okay. So couple, right?
Jack Campbell. Yeah.
You see where we're going now. So you guys can do whatever you like. If you're looking for someone to make you feel better, you got the wrong show. I can't do it. I'm disgusted. I feel like you got absolutely robbed because you could have sold me, hey, bad day at the office yesterday. They couldn't play man cover. Allen was splendid. Taste your own blood a little bit. Rally up. Let's go do the damn thing. But when you take Aleem McNeil out of this thing, you're taking Chris Jones. You're taking Aaron Donald. You're taking Dexter Lawrence. You're taking the linchpin to your defense. You take that player out on top of the other injuries? No. Oh, and on top of it, we're going to... Oh, and by the way, Carlton Davis now, third straight year, he'll miss at least four games.
Yeah.
And he's your lead corner.
Yeah. And that's one that I know they say he's going to be back. I don't see how he's back in playing shape.
No. It's all hopium and copium. That's all this is. That's all I've heard on the station all day. I'm not into it. I'd rather have a cathartic show, let people vent, because you should be angry. It's been taken from you, and it's not fair, but that's why winning a Super Bowl is so hard. Guys, the only player that could have got hurt yesterday that would have been worse than the two that got hurt would be Jared Goff. Like, if Goff got broken in half, that's the only player worse than losing Carlton Davis and Aleem McNeil off of a defense already missing six or seven starters.
No, you're right. I would have said Panay, but yes, Goff is, now you're in the Hendon Hooker phase. Now we're going for draft picks.
Yeah, so look, I don't know what to say. I just shoot you straight, just like in August when I told you, you're winning this thing. I believed it up until this week, where losing David Montgomery for the year? Are you kidding me? The heartbeat of the offense? He's what makes Gibbs effective because you can have the 1-2?
Yeah.
Losing McNeil? Losing Davis? These are all season enders. Guys, you get to a point. Look, 2008, this happened to my team. The Giants were ready to go back-to-back. They were the best team in football. I think they were 11-1 at the time of losing their Kareem McKenzie, their best offensive lineman, and Plax deciding a gun in sweatpants was a good idea. And you know what happened? They lost three of their next four, and they got dummied right out of the playoffs in the first round. Why? They weren't the same. It's players, not plays, right? Mm-hmm. Lose the wrong players. It's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. I feel for Aaron Glenn. Look, Ben Johnson's the one who has all the toys.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Glenn's got nothing right now. If anything, I find what Aaron Glenn is able to do more impressive. Mm-hmm. So if you want to call in, you can go whatever way you want with this. What is your fate this team's going to deliver on the promise of a Super Bowl? Mine is down to under 10%. And it's only that high because, well, bleep happens. Things happen. Football's a weird game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm out of belief. It's all hope now. These injuries are just brutal.
I'm only going, I would say 10%, Mike, but the only way I would go 10% is you have to have the one seed. Because if you have to play that extra playoff game, I don't think you have enough bodies to last game after game after game. And especially now, if you're playing three NFC games in the playoff, chances are you're playing some of these on the road. So now that's a whole different element, because at the beginning of the year, we're all talking about home games and this place is going to be rocking and oh my God, and the crowd and the noise level. I was there yesterday and it was amazing at the beginning of the game, just how loud that place could be. That's going to be gone. And now you're going to have to look at it and say, hey, can we make it limp our way to the finish line in the final three games, not tripping up once, and get to one seed? Because the way it's going, we'll see what's going to happen tonight with Minnesota, but Philly just looks like they like the fact that everybody's focused on Detroit and nobody's talking about them, and they just keep winning. That's okay. We'll be here in the end, and everything has to come through Philly. You got to see what Minnesota's going to do. Is that final game against Minnesota for the division where the winner gets to play at home and the loser's the five seed and you're on the road for the entire playoff? So, yeah, the chances of them getting to the Super Bowl, I don't feel – it would be disingenuous to say, yeah, because Aaron Glenn, there's only so many times you can just keep blitzing with the people you pick up off the street. The talent just keeps decreasing and decreasing that teams are just going to start picking you apart. That was Josh Allen, but that was Buffalo out there. It wasn't all pro receivers torturing you. It was just some guys, but these weren't like, you know, that's not A.J. Brown out there. That's not Devontae Smith out there. So,
Aleem McNeil, Aiden Hutchinson, Marcus Davenport, Derek Barnes, Alex Anzalone, John Kaminsky, Jalen Reeves-Maybin, Melifonwu, Rakestraw, Rodrigo, Mosley, Carlton Davis, Kyle Pecco, Mekhi Wingo. Oh, and the DB who died yesterday, the backup.
Khalil Dorsey.
That's who are all gone, and they're all on defense. So you want to call up and say you're not worried? God bless. Do whatever you like. You're not living in reality. And that's fine, because it's easier than facing the pain of knowing that, yeah, likely you had the rug pulled out from under you. The football gods effed our season. But no, I think the most dishonest thing I could do today is go on the air and tell you it's going to be fine. I can't do that. I mean, can you get there? Is it possible? Sure. Anything is possible. But you're as decimated on defense as I have ever seen an NFL football team entering the playoffs. I've just never seen this, ever. So it's possible. But no, now it's hope. Yeah. Now I'm going to go to hope phase with you guys. I hope they can do this. But the expectation and me being all brash about it, no, it's done.
No. The best thing that happened to this team with the injuries is that it at least happened in week 14, which allowed you to win games, but still set you up. If this happened earlier in the year, you'd be struggling to make the playoffs. But you won enough games. You have enough equity in the books. You'll be in the playoffs. You've clinched the spot. It's just, where are you going to go?
248-539-9797. We start a therapy Monday. Montgomery out for the year. Aleem McNeil out for the year. Carlton Davis could be out for the year unless you make it to the NFC title game. And even then, I'm with Rico. I temper my expectations. Three more devastating injuries. You do what you want with it. All right, we'll get to the Lions at 3 o'clock. Lots to discuss. I think I have a way to broker peace. Also, Las Vegas's reaction to all of your injuries. And I think the Hutch thing is a complete absurdity. So yeah. If you're going to peddle that here, I just encourage you to call a different show. The guy was limping into the stadium Sunday. Yeah, you're not playing in a month. But thank you for that. Just take care of yourself. You have a all-pro career ahead of you. You have a $200 million contract. You know what I don't want to watch? Hutch at 60% as the emotional leader, snapping his leg in half like a pencil. I'm good. We'll get to it at 3. Rico, you asked the question. I'm going to give you the answer. But first, ticket texts. What do you have, David?
Somebody guarantee Kenny a hot bowl of raccoon gumbo, and he's all in for the game tonight.
I don't think that's available at the concessions.
Is it true that the Pistons are also retiring Rico's quarter zip this week? So he's getting retired by OU and the Pistons this week, someone said.
Yeah, it's really a house award. It's like when the Miami Heat retired the fans.
It's just
jersey.
Everything. Yeah,
it's more universal. Like they put Elton John in the rafters. That's Rico's crested.
So when the Wings play there, they'll see the zip up there. There you go.
Yeah, it's right next to Ted Lindsay. Lindsay Delvecchio, beard. Cusip.
I hear they're handing out souvenir replicas of Rico's silver bowl to the first 500 fan. That is from Mike.
It's perfect. the old cucumber bowl. Oh, man. That bowl was a real movement. All right. So let's do this. You asked the question. I wanted to do this before we get serious with the Lions. Ready? I need all of you to tell me, do you buy this or not? A New Jersey mayor warned Tuesday that the troubling drone sightings over the state may be linked to missing radioactive material. Although federal officials say the amount poses no serious threat either way, Belleville Mayor Michael Mellum said the drones flying in a grid-like pattern over his Essex County township appear to be, quote, looking for something. What might they be looking for? Maybe that's radioactive material, he told Fox TV's Good Day New York. It was a shipment. It arrived at its destination. The container was damaged and it was empty, Mellum said. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has issued an alert regarding a piece of medical equipment used for cancer scans that was lost in transit December 2nd while being shipped from NASA Cancer Center in Newfield in Gloucester County in southern New Jersey. The device was to be properly discarded, but its shipping container arrived at the destination damaged and empty. The item known as a pin source contains radioactive chemicals that I can't pronounce, which are used in PET scanners to calibrate accuracy. The radiation is deemed less than category 3 on the atomic energy scale, which means unlikely to cause permanent injury to individual or contain a small amount of radioactive that would not cause permanent injury. News of the equipment caused alarm on social media, and some people are speculating the drones patrolling New Jersey skies are scouring the area for the radioactive waste. Rico, buy or sell? This is the latest on what's going on in New Jersey. Cat Williams.
I'm not buying this at all. Like, this is the best that you can come up with. Well, it's radioactive materials. Yeah, that'll calm people down. We lost radioactive material. Yeah, that's what you want to tell people right before the holidays. Happy holidays and avoid that glowing drum of ooze. Yeah.
Hold on now. This isn't The Simpsons, but yes, point taken. David, buy or sell?
No, I'm selling. I'm selling hard. Come on, man. No.
0-2. Kennicott, buy or sell?
I'm going to sell it, but I would love to buy it because it sounds like the beginning of like the next Iron Man movie or something like that happening. I'd love to buy it, Mike, but I'm
selling. Tony Stark and Stark Industries is providing the drones.
No,
look,
Mike, no. Kenny, it ain't even an Iron Man movie. This sounds like the next, you know, apocalyptic type of series on HBO or something where, oh, and we lost some stuff in New Jersey and now we've come to the end of days.
Listen, all I can tell you is this. They're not going away. You're not getting an answer. You've got thousands and thousands and thousands of tips on these tip lines. No one's willing to say a word. The government won't cop to it. There's a theory that certain levels of government, there might be 12 people that even have clearance to know what's going on. Therefore, the FBI wouldn't know, or therefore the White House wouldn't know, or 90% of the Pentagon wouldn't know. I'm just telling you, like, if this was some kind of like Rico Beard alien attack fantasy, I don't buy that. I think clearly they're testing something. I think it's data collection. That's what I think it is. I think they're testing these things to see what data they're collecting off the ground. Do I think they have payloads? Do I think they're, you know, strapped with bombs? No. But I just feel like, look, in the end of the day, the government doesn't care about us, Rico. They don't owe us anything.
Correct.
They've already made that much abundantly clear. So it's just the idea of maybe they're scanning for nuclear. I mean, New Jersey's got like 9 nuclear sites. Maybe it's just a test before they send them overseas into one of their far-flung wars that they're in that we don't even know about. I don't know. But I
but
can't
do you
stop.
Have to
the story's
lie to
too
us?
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lie.
Come on. Yes, they do.
That's the thing. Like, this is... I'd rather you just simply say, you know what, it's top secret. No need to worry, but it's something top secret. Okay.
Oh, the old, we know what we're doing, we promise?
Yeah. Guys, we know. Quit calling. This is just a test. It's like the fire drill you had in school or the EEA system that we run here on the station. It's just a test. Don't worry. Go back to your regular.
Yeah, it's not a
program.
Real bomb. Right. This is just a test.
Right. That's where I'm at. But yeah, this, because yeah, that calms the fears. Well, we kind of lost some stuff, but don't worry.
Okay. Hey, listen, I wanted to provide the latest and greatest before we go down the lion's rabbit hole. People, if you're not obsessed with the story still, respect, not mad at you. I am. I can't get enough of the New Jersey drone story. Because it's completely absurd.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of thousands of these things flying over the state of New Jersey. I mean, come on. from on surface. Imagine if this were happening locally. Imagine if they were centered around Metro Detroit. Are you kidding me? We'd be talking about this every day.
Yes.
Yeah. It's unbelievable to me.
But yeah, but this is, and for such a gigantic metropolitan area, no answers, nothing coming up. If this were going on in the middle of Nebraska, Iowa, all right, you know, no one would care. New Jersey, New York, like these gigantic drones, no big deal. Well, we lost a couple things. The drones are just trying to help us find them.
And again, this happened just yesterday. A New Jersey pilot claims his drone spun out of control, lost power, and completely died as he directed it towards one of the drones flying in his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, this seems like some type of an experiment that only 10 people know why they're doing this. I don't know if this is to see how people react to fear. It could be just that sadistic. Or, you know what? Can we knock out power if we need to in certain areas? That's what I'm believing.
I'm telling you. All right, David, a couple ticket texts, and then we're going to get to business. We'll do a little football today, and yes, we'll get to the Lions. I just wanted to start with a couple of fun things because, honestly, this Sunday was depressing. Yesterday was depressing. It's the holidays. I can't do 4 hours every day of Lions injury sadness, so I'm going to try to do something decent today and offer a way forward. And it's not going to be lying to you and making you promises like the Tooth Fairy that Hutchinson's going to be back and that everything's going to be okay. No, it's not okay. And even Las Vegas has responded to your injuries in a major way. But we're going to talk about, okay, how do we make it okay in the short term? What can we do to all rally behind it and chart a shorter-term goal before we worry about the longer term? That's what I'm focused on at 3 o'clock. David, ticket text.
You guys can laugh at it, but I believe it's true. These drones can sniff radioactive material. I believe it 100% true. That's what they're doing. Jody in New Haven.
But, Jody, the problem would be one medical device shipment. You know, this isn't a squadron of warheads. That would be the issue I have with this. You mean you would cause widespread panic for one piece of medical device equipment? Mm. Standardized, nonetheless?
Yeah. Brought to you, and trust the people who somehow lost this equipment to say, no, but it's okay. But it's powerful enough that we got a bunch of drones scouring the state. But it's just one thing, and don't worry about it. Yeah, everything about that says worry about it.
From Corey, he says the drone shut down an Air Force base in Ohio this past weekend. Yeah, something's up.
Ooh. Once again, David, idiot. Normally when people say don't worry about something, that's when it ranks right up there with, hey, you know, I'm not a racist, but next thing out of your mouth is about to be something pretty
bad.
Now, how
did you know Kenny just said, I'm sorry.
Kenny, I'm Kenny Cott. I've got plenty of black friends. Tell him more. You choose.
Oh, sell the explanation. Why have they been...
I love basketball.
Are you a fan of Tiger Woods?
Leave Doug alone. Doug sounded tired today. Doug needs a nap.
Sell the explanation. Why have they been spotted in almost every state? It's government bullcrap, and we are in trouble. Paul from Harper Woods.
Oh, Paul's going into the bomb shelter with about 3,800 cans of soup.
It's like an episode of 24. Where's Kiefer Sutherland when you need him?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't get enough of the story. Now, I gotta get up on the story about the Ohio base, but all right. Well, I got plenty of time coming up. Let's do the business. We start with football. We start with that disgrace of a Monday night double dip and issues around the league. We'll get to the Lions momentarily. It is 97.1. Well, people, this is a special moment. Not only with one of the top five Christmas songs of all time. We all get a chance. It's like the summer when Rico spent it with his cousin Benito on tour with Hammer. Rico is about to serve you up. We are just going to sit back, relax, and listen to the stylings of a man who is officially broken and has now come to my side of things.
Here's Rico.
Mike, you know what? I'm looking at the world of college football, and I feel like I am the third base coach, and I'm trying to tell them, slow down, stop. You're about to go home, and you're going to be dead meat at the plate. The college football world is just destroying itself. And Kenny brought some of it up in the blitz that he did. When you look at what's going on at Penn State with Bo Pabula and even SMU's backup quarterback, neither are there because they have to go into the portal. Why? Because you have a system that nobody thought anything through. We're just out here. It's unlimited free agency with no contracts. You could do whatever you want to do. Mike, I know you said that the sport is ruined for you. This sport is about to ruin itself for anybody who really is trying and hoping for it. It's almost like that Tyra Banks, we were rooting for you, we're all rooting for you, and you did this to us. That's where college football is going, because this, I'm understanding you more and more. Bowl games mean absolutely nothing, because when I'm filling out my bowl card and I'm listening to you give me advice and you're like, well, always take the team that has a coach and players. Sounds ridiculous, but that was the advice that Mike gave me. No. Take the team with a coach and actual players, and they're going to win that game. And so far, Mike, you've been correct in me picking this.
One for one.
Yes. College football has to get a hold of itself. College football needs to make some changes. And there are changes that are very simple to be made, but I don't know if they want to make them. College football has to do something, Mike, because I like the fact of the playoff. I like the whole idea of it, but everything behind it just sickens me, because you see this destroying itself and there's nothing you can do about it.
Read your list while we chuckle.
Players and coaches now adding to collectives. Meaning, you know what? I'm going to reinvest in myself. If I'm a coach, I'm going to go ahead and put $4 million of my salary in there because I want to. Or if all of a sudden a quarterback who makes $2 million, $3 million, oh, we need this offensive lineman. All right, I'll give you $500,000 of my money to get this guy to come here. What? And also, while we're speaking of money, where does Sacramento State get $50 million to entice Mike Vick? First of all, I'm like, Sacramento State, like, that sounds like something out of a fake movie. Like the college.
No, they're the Hornets or the Golden Bees.
Of course you know that.
Well, their old coach is Stanford's coach, Troy Taylor. I think they're the Bees or the Buzzards or the Hornets. Have Kenny look at it.
Yeah. You got coaches.
They always have a good offense.
Yeah, you got coaches bailing a day after winning league titles. Marshall.
That's tough.
Yeah. Hey, and while you're at it, your whole team's just going to jump in the portal. Maybe they pull to Indiana and they all follow him to, was it South Mississippi? South Alabama. Some South.
The Golden Eagles. Okay. Put some respect on that name. Frank Gore Jr. went there.
All right. And then this was the one, man. This is where it pained me to send you this text, but I knew I just had to get ahead of this.
I sounded like your sound effect when I got it.
Yeah. Teams pulling out of a bowl game. Why? Not because they can't afford it. Because they don't have any players. Marshall had to just vacate a bowl game because they had too many players in the portal. They didn't have enough to compete with Army. And literally the NCAA was picking up the phone saying, hey, standing outside the club, anybody want in? We just need one. We just need one. Yeah. You got players on playoff teams entering the portal. Like I said, both backup QBs for Penn State and SMU. If anything happens to either the starting quarterback, there's nobody there. Because they both had to make the choice. Well, since both guys are coming back, I have to do what's best for me. Hey, sorry, team, but I have to enroll early next semester, which means I got to leave now. I know we're in the playoffs. I know we can win a national title. It's just not for me.
Did today shake you at all with this Damon Payne kid? He was originally a Belleville kid. He went to Alabama. He's been a complete bust. But, all right, he's coming home. Wants to play for U of M. Right. Okay, fine enough. Except the papers he put in. His agents told him to take the papers out because what the hell are we doing?
He signed the paperwork. Michigan coaches celebrated. Hey, we got him. All right.
Got him. He's got like 10 tackles in 4 years.
You know, but he was the former number one player in the state, and he's from Belleville. So, him and Bryce, let's slap hands and let's do something for social media. Needle scratch. Wait a minute. His agent said, now he's going to take some more visits. He did that prematurely. So, no. That was just laughable because that's like, it's the day and age. I'm going to jump in the portal just to try to get a raise. I call it the Chuck Brantley effect. I'm going to jump in the portal. I'm going to get a raise. You're going to beg me to come back, and I'm not. Now, I've heard unofficially, but I've heard through some people, they pretty much told him, hey, Chuck, you can stay in the portal. He wanted to play that game with the new staff, and the new staff said, we did this once. You got your money. Stay there.
So maybe the question to ask people is this. You've just heard Rico, a dyed-in-the-wool college football fan and a guy who has fought me for years, now is seemingly walking across the ice bridge and joining me in the darkness of hating this sport. Has college football's chaos finally caught up to you? Now that we're sitting here, both our teams stink. I'm not knocking what Michigan did, but for some people it is distasteful to have $12, $13, $15 million go to a 17-year-old kid. The chaos factor, the portal, players leaving playoff teams, bowl games having absolutely no meaning. You don't even know who's playing. Has college football's chaos finally caught up to your passion for the sport? 248-539-9797.
Brother,
you guys know where I'm at. I don't need to say it.
Mike, seriously, when I'm sitting there trying to fill out my bowl pool and you're like, okay, hear me out on this. Take this team. Why, Mike? That team, because they have a coach and they have players. So they're going to cover. This team doesn't have a quarterback. They don't have a coach, and everybody hit the portal.
I'll give you a good one. So if you want the full breakdown, like the ball breaking, we did this on Cash Ticket, Me and Cookies. Like, it's Cal and UNLV. And take Cal. So your offensive coordinator's fired. Your star quarterback, Mendoza, says he's going to play in the bowl. Cutscene. He hits the portal. Nyzea Hunter, who's an NFL wide receiver, he hits the portal. All right, so who's the quarterback? Well, the backup is hurt, so it's between a career backup from Ohio or a true freshman, neither of whom have taken snaps this year. All right, well, then I guess you're betting UNLV, or UNLV's going to win. Wrong. Barry Odom left to take another job. All right, well, then they must have given it to the DC, who's the acting head coach. Wrong. They've publicly said he's not the guy. It's not his job. They hired Dan Mullen. All right, well, at least you get Brennan Marion. Quarter zip, no t-shirt, neck tat, and a diamond necklace. He's calling the go-go plays. Wrong. Scrubbed his social media. No one knows where Brennan Marion is. Doesn't have another job. Dan Mullen hasn't named him OC. And he's dark man. He's nowhere. You think Haj Malik Williams is going to play, but no one knows. Ricky White, shout out MSU, might play, might not. Game time decision. That's a bowl game. That's a bowl game. Like, what? I'm sorry, but like, what's the point? So I would just like to know. I mean, look, if you're cruising around, all of these things together, if it hasn't had an impact on your passion, you can say why. But if it has it finally caught up with you? You told yourself it's all good. You told yourself you weren't going to hate something you loved. All the things Rico listed, those are real. And it's a parody of an actual sport.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear some of the money getting thrown around, I have to tell you, I don't hate anybody's hustle. But the idea of guys who might just be depth players making $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, no, that's not what NIL was designed to be.
Mike.
And frankly, Rico, me, David, Kenny, any of you guys out there, if I handed you $50,000 in college, you would have felt like Rick Ross.
Oh, my God. Yes.
$700,000 to be a team's fourth receiver?
Was that the Texas Tech guy? I got to look
Texas
up his
Tech,
name.
Yeah, Texas Tech allegedly went up to close to $1 million for a player that might be their third receiver.
Yeah, and then I guess I allegedly saw the breakdown of everything. Like, he gets his own car and a chauffeur, and he could take off and get.
Meanwhile, this kid may not get drafted.
Right.
So, yeah, it had caught up to me for a while. it's caught up to Rico. David, Kenny, feel free. I mean, Kenny has a playoff-level team. Candidly, has it affected your passion, Kenny? I mean, look, I know in the SEC it just means more. And I know you're very myopic with your focus on your team and your family's relationship with the team. I get that. But overall, hearing all of this crap, what has it done with your fandom in general?
It's, and I promise this is not meant to be smarmy, but it's made me glad that Georgia is my team at this moment, because if I had to worry about opt-outs or having to, you know, host players the week of a playoff game, like, that to me is insane. And if I was one of those teams or anything less than, I would absolutely, my passion would be affected by it. I'm certainly glad that I'm not. And I guarantee you this, when Georgia eventually falls off a cliff, because that's what happens in college football, I will be in that camp and it will bother me. I can see it coming down the road. And I feel badly because, man, like, imagine being a fan of one of these teams where you're seeing opt-outs the week of, like Penn State. What are we doing here? Yeah, it absolutely affects the way you watch a football game.
248-539-9797. Has this affected you the way it's affected me? Because right now, this college football playoff, these better be the greatest games ever to sway me back, because I'm sitting here saying, this is just wrong. This is not going to happen. You're like a freshman with their very first credit card, and you're spending like crazy, not realizing you're about to ruin yourself for the next 10 years. Stop doing this. Fix this problem. I got a simple solution, Mike. I'll give it to you
next. I can't wait to hear it next.
Yes.
Oh, delightful. Welcome on a Thursday. We have got Lions to discuss. We've got a story that I honestly thought was an Onion article, and that's where we're going to lead. Because it relates to the Lions, I think. It makes me thankful this holiday season for Sheila Ford Hamp. Because what I'm going to have Hatchett read is one of the most incredible things that I forced David to track down the actual reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, dude, this has to be from like Adam Blefter, some parody account. It can't be real.
We all thought that.
So, David, if you'd be so kind, I would like you to read this story. And people, this should just, A, show you we do live in a simulation, but B, how thankful we should be. The Lions have finally got things right, because you could have this. David, if you'd be so kind.
From The Athletic, the New York Jets owner was at his house in Palm Beach, Florida last February discussing potential offseason acquisitions. Wide receiver Jerry Jeudy flashed on the screen, and Jets general manager Joe Douglas expressed interest. So Johnson began to take his phone out and started typing. A few weeks later, Douglas and the Broncos GM were in negotiations. They were deep into negotiations. They were going to give Aaron Rodgers another potential playmaker. The Broncos felt a deal was near. Then abruptly, it fell apart. Douglas told the Broncos that Johnson didn't want to make the trade because the owner felt Jerry Jeudy's player rating in Madden NFL was too low.
One more time for the people in the back, David.
The Jets owner didn't want to make the trade because the owner felt Jerry Jeudy's player rating in Madden NFL wasn't high enough, according to league sources.
That right there, when I initially saw it, and people sent that to me this morning, like you,
Onion.
Okay, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, let me see if this is legit. Oh, no, it's real. This is where we are. Not let's look at his game footage. Let's look at what he's done. Let's look at his past. If you told me, you know what, I'm looking at his off-season stuff and see if he got arrested. What's his Madden rating like? That's going to determine this.
First of all, I mean, just again, how thankful I am. The Lions have got it right, and Sheila Ford Hamp has gotten it right. Because the idea that an owner of an NFL team, much less an owner of an NFL team in the biggest market in the NFL, would nix a trade. Hell, I'd rather him say he didn't like his name. I'd rather him say that this guy slept with his wife. I'd rather him come up with reasons. I don't like the number he wears. I don't like the way he looked at me. I don't trust people named Jerry. I don't know. For Woody Johnson to say his rating in Madden isn't high enough, we're not doing the deal. How can that be real? And how thankful are we are not there? Mm-hmm. You always wondered why I made fun of the Jets. You always wonder why I'm so hard on them, how I think they are truly a redheaded stepchild. This is why. Mm-hmm. How can that be real?
This is one of those times where, yes, the general manager, idiot, stupid move. A move that probably will haunt you forever, but it's like, wow. This is why people make fun of your organization. When David and I were talking pre-show, Mike, on the phone, we started just talking about, like, the bad decisions made in Detroit sports history. And I'm like, it's like Terry Fair. Don't want Randy Moss, who's going into the Hall of Fame. Terry Fair is going to be a much better player.
But that wasn't because of a Madden rating.
No, but anyway, it's just the idiotic moves that organizations make. And yes, now you look at the Lions and we get to talk about, hey, great draft pick. Hey, you know what? Your third round selection is actually playing at a Pro Bowl status level. Like, yes, you found Brian Branch in the second round. Way to go. Not, oh, well, Madden ratings and things like that. I mean, what's next? Just pull out a Ouija board?
I've never heard anything like it. I swear to God, I've never heard anything like it. But I wanted to ask the question. I mean, look, we're sitting here. We know the Lions are going to make the playoffs. How far they go, it's obviously TBA. It depends on your perspective. But when you guys hear a story like that, does that evoke memories of the dysfunction of days gone by with your organization? Now, I don't think anything rises to the level of, I don't want to make this trade because Madden rating. But I mean, when you think of the dysfunction that has haunted the Detroit Lions for 70 years, and then you look at what we have now, synergy. It is a collaborative deal from the top down. Smart people, let them be smart. We have no nonsense here. Now, we talk about things we like, we don't like, whatever. I know, Rico, I got here in 04, I got into the state in 98. Just the idea of all of the years of the dysfunction here. Nothing rose to that, but it just illuminates so many bad memories. So much bad stuff.
It does.
Holy hell. Could you imagine if we were sitting here in Detroit and that article breaks today? And you swap out that for Sheila and Jets for Lions, and they didn't make trade because Madden ratings. Dude, full lines, 4 hours, try 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Of how do you even root for your team at that point?
Mm-hmm.
We stress out about, I don't like the plan of the Pistons, or the Iser plan's too slow, or whatever. Hey, I know the Tigers, they want to do it their way. We want to do it a different way. Nothing rises to this. Nothing.
No, not Madden level. Not putting your name on it and saying, well, his Madden level is too high. No,
the fact that that's a Diana Russini report in The Athletic. That's not some internet meme.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me something crazier than that? On surface, the only thing would be a Donald Sterling reference, but I'm not going to imitate him because it'll end up a song again. But they always tell the story of him sauntering into the locker room, shirt fully unbuttoned, 18 glasses of red wine deep, and talking about his beautiful...
Right. I think probably the only thing I can think of is when the Colts owner went after Mel Kiper. Because Mel Kiper was like, this is why the Colts are always losers. Like, who the hell is Mel Kiper? I forgot the pick.
Was it Bill Polian?
Yes. He was like, who the hell is Mel Kiper?
Have you ever seen that, Kenny? Okay. Well, I'm just asking. I mean, I know we try to keep things current for Kenny. Anything before 2010, you're getting a little gray. A little gray.
But yeah.
Madden rating.
Madden rating.
Guys, when you hear David read that, like, give me your reaction to that. And honestly, I know there's been a lot of consternation this week, especially from myself. And I'm stressed out because the Lions, to me, went from being the Super Bowl favorite to maybe fourth or fifth in line. Hey, we still got it really good. No moldy bread resets. But the idea that the New York Football Jets owner usurped his GM and wouldn't make that trade because he didn't like the player's Madden rating is all time. All time. I got Rico. That if you put all right, let me tell you something. If that was a feature of the movie Draft Day,
oh my God,
you still would go, that's not
no.
realistic.
You wouldn't believe that would be real. No. That would happen.
That does sound like something from Draft Day.
It does sound like something from Draft Day.
Give me Coach Putney. Walking around in a suit that says Coach. Because you didn't know. Here's Dan Campbell walking around Allen Park. Coach. That does sound like something from Draft. You know what? We're going to bury your father's ashes on Draft Day at the practice field.
It almost sounds like the stories you would hear, like some of the wacky hockey stories of, oh, the Stanley Cup was frozen in a river. Or like, oh, we lost the Rose Bowl trophy. Like, it sounds like something from 100 years ago where it couldn't be possible. Like, if you're Joe Douglas and you're sitting there and your owner goes, no, nah, I don't want to do it. His rating's too low on Madden. You know what? I quit.
Yeah, I was about to say, here's my resignation. End of the season or right now?
Joe Douglas already's got more money than God, and Joe Douglas is a very good GM who will get hired again. I'd be like, you know what? I ain't here for this.
I mean, can you imagine you call up your other GM friends, you're sitting at the bar, so why are we here tonight?
Hey, Bobby, you're not going to believe this. Wow, what's up, Joe? Yeah, my owner told me I can't trade for Jerry Jeudy. Why? Finances? Nah, Madden.
But he plays too much Madden? Was he like
Woody Johnson's 100?
No, I'm saying, is he like Kyler Murray? Is he play too much Madden? Is
old
that why?
Old people can't play video games. The thumbs don't work no more.
Are you trying to tell me that Jerry Jeudy plays too much Madden? No. His Madden rating was too low. That's why.
Oh. Okay. No, the response would be your drop that says oh.
Oh, that's when you just say, you know what, drinks are on me, buddy.
Wildest thing I've heard all year in sports. It's not even close. I mean, you may hear salacious things about players and, you know, baby mamas and different things, or maybe you hear something crazy like, you know, Mark Davis's haircut. Nothing. Nothing approaches that. And I just wanted to start a holiday edition of the show with positivity, like, thank God. I never thought I'd be able to say this, but thank God we have the Detroit Lions and not that. How would I, as a radio host, function if that were our team in this town? This was over a defensive end. You couldn't possibly. I don't know how you'd buy season tickets ever again. Unbelievable. 248-539-9797.
No, you're right. It ranks right up there with Anthony Richardson tapping out because he was too tired. Like, just weird stuff that you never thought you would hear in sports.
Mark Davis saying that the 26-year-old who's pregnant likes his personality and, quote, didn't know he was rich. Right. Sure. All right. We'll have a little fun with you guys before the picks at 5:30. We've been doing one of these a day just to lead up to Christmas. And look, let's face it, many of you will not hear the show again before Christmas. You have things to do on Monday and Tuesday.
Nah, you should actually listen to the show.
Well, I didn't say don't listen. I just said people are busy.
While you're at the mall.
We'll be here Monday. But listen, we're going to do a holiday blitz. David has surprised us. But this better have the holiday greeting you've been giving. It's tremendous.
Ho, ho, ho!
Yes!
Merry Christmas!
Oh, man.
You almost didn't get it today, man. I'm telling you, this weather's beating my voice up.
Okay. All right.
So let's go with the best Christmas movies of all time.
Oh, these are always hotly contested.
Yes, it is.
All right.
So this is a list of 100. We're not going to go through 100. So I'm going to start at 25. And I don't understand. I've never seen number 25 or number 24.
Okay, go ahead.
25 is The Shop Around the Corner.
Never heard of it.
And number 24 is 8-Bit Christmas.
Never heard of it.
How can it be in the top 25?
David, I don't think 25 Christmas movies have ever been made. There's like 7.
No, there's a lot.
What? Okay, 8-Bit Christmas?
That movie was made in 2021.
What?
It goes back to the 80s. A Chicago kid is looking for the greatest Christmas gift of his generation.
Don't
the
care.
Video game, 8-Bit.
All right, video game next. System. Come on. David, you got to get the movies people know.
Frosty the Snowman. That is number 23.
What, the one with Jimmy Durante?
Yes.
That's 23, the animated special?
Correct.
That means it's 22 better than that.
That's woefully low.
But it is woefully low because,
you want to know why?
Because Love Actually, then The Family Man, then Silent Night. No.
No, no, because, you know, because it looks bad, like the graphics and animation.
It was the 60s.
It looks amazing for the 60s.
Right, but nowadays, it's like, oh my goodness, is this what you guys watch?
Well, I'm not going to slander the Claymation CBS Christmas special, Rudolph, where Yukon Cornelius is a true hero.
Right.
But to some, it's like, well, where's the graphics? Where's this?
See, that's what Costa would say.
See, I'm going to tell you now.
Jerry Bruckheimer.
Okay, Rudolph is number 6.
Okay.
Because you mentioned it.
All right, good. So I don't have to make fun of the list.
No.
Just keep going.
Exactly. Charlie Brown, number 16.
16?
Yes.
I don't like Charlie Brown.
I know you don't, Mike.
He's a loser.
We also question whether you have a soul sometimes.
No, but Charlie Brown's not a winner in life. He's a sucker.
No, he is.
Charlie Brown is a sucker bitch. I don't like Charlie Brown.
Is because Charlie Brown is tenacity. He never gives up.
No, he's a pinata.
He believes, and he will always say, you know what? I'm going to keep trying no matter what.
He's just a moron. He keeps failing. He's never going anywhere.
Kenny, you only fail when you stop.
Charlie Brown is a real cat enthusiast. That's all I tell you. I don't like Charlie Brown and that stupid tree.
But
that thing's a disgrace.
But then at the end, the tree became this great symbol because all of his friends came in and helped him out.
He's also a lowlife. He hangs out with that guy that's got ticks. The hell's the dude with the blanket and the funk that follows him around.
Pigpen just kind of, Linus is his best friend.
Whatever. Go ahead, rake, stray, anything directed at me.
Kenny,
no?
You feeling some kind of way? We weren't even talking
about week
this.
I've been called a possum-eating hick.
That's different than having terrible personal hygiene. There are plenty of clean hillbillies.
Come on, man. That's...
I'm just saying Charlie Brown's a lowlife.
No, he is not. That's too low, Dave.
Moving on.
I don't know. I think he kind of is. It starts with saying, yeah, not good. Let's go 15, The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Love it.
I like part two
better with the evil Santa, but I like the Santa Claus.
See, I also agree with you because it's like Home Alone 2. Home Alone 2 is better than Home Alone.
Not over Charlie Brown, but go ahead.
Really?
The Santa Claus isn't over Charlie Brown to you.
Oh.
Okay.
But I'm not a big Tim Allen fan.
This one may be Trading Places, number 14.
Never viewed it as a Christmas movie.
Neither did I.
But you know what?
It's a good movie.
If you consider Die Hard, then actually it is because everything takes place over Christmas. As Dan Aykroyd has on the ratty Christmas outfit.
Oh yeah. Now
that's
a Kenny move. When he's got the bottle in the subway and it's that I could see.
Look at this. He's got all the drugs. He's got this and this and this.
I did not. No, not the drugs. I just meant Kenny and a bottle of whiskey. There's a difference.
I knew it was coming at some point.
I'll relax. There it is.
Yeah, I do not believe that this or Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I do.
It's just events that happen around the Christmas time.
I don't care enough to argue.
But here's the thing. If anything, Die Hard 2 is more of a Christmas movie.
I can understand that one.
Is that the one that's at Dulles Airport?
Yeah.
I can understand that one. Then you have Scrooged.
Great movie. Bill Murray. Great movie, and they never show it.
You know what? You're right. I never see it.
Oh, you know why? Because I think like a streaming service now has it.
Oh, good. Thanks a lot for that, Rico.
That ain't me.
So they're never going to show it on TV again?
Scrooged is great. It's been on TV. But you could also stream it now. But no, it's been on TV.
He made that and Groundhog Day in close proximity. Two movies I do like.
Number 11, Bad Santa.
Love it. Billy Bob Thornton.
Bernie Mac, yes.
Haven't seen it this holiday season yet, but it's a must watch. Billy Bob Thornton is awesome in it.
I have to sit down and watch the whole thing. I have not.
It's good.
I've heard it's good.
It is. But yeah. I like Billy Bob Thornton. By the way, if you haven't watched Landman yet, you're missing out.
I saw a commercial about that yesterday.
Fantastic.
That's on the holiday viewing.
It's phenomenal.
I think I may have a few days off. I don't know.
I haven't seen him in a while. So, oh my Lord! Wow,
it's phenomenal.
I think there's going to be a lot in this top 10 that you guys are not going to like.
Okay.
Number 10, Gremlins.
Not a Christmas movie.
No.
Well, you know, he did. He got it for Christmas.
But it's a scary movie. I don't know. I'm not going to fight about it. I'm not saying Gremlins is bad. That's just, I wouldn't classify it
as a Christmas movie.
Go ahead.
Number 9, Miracle on 34th Street.
I'm out. I ain't got time for black and white movies.
1947.
Finished that with white movies. I was just like, what the hell did you think I was going to say?
It's not one of those movies, though, Rico. So.
isn't that the same as It's a Wonderful Life? They were made in like the 20s?
I'm joking. 1947, so yes.
Oh, yeah. World War II movies. Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like, I don't have time for those Madea movies. Go ahead.
Oh, my God in heaven.
That is not in the top 10.
You're telling me Madea Goes to Church did not make
top Madea's Christmas is not in the top 10. Not at all. Number 8, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
There are not 7 movies greater, but okay, it made the top 10.
I will stay out of it. I don't like the film. I understand them in the minority.
It's hilarious to me. It's still funny every time.
Yeah, all 7 movies here.
And Kenny, I'm sure you could appreciate the whole Cat in the Christmas Tree.
Yeah, right. Okay. I agree. Yes,
you
can
appreciate
it. It's a great scene, a great film.
Awful. Are we at the airport?
Number 7 is Elf. Yeah.
I like it.
2003, Will Ferrell, James Caan, Bob Newhart.
Sentimental value. My kid sisters loved the movie. I was forced to watch it, and it grew on me. I hate Will Ferrell, but I love the fact that James Caan hates Will Ferrell. When they were filming the movie, James Caan wanted him dead. Knowing that has helped me fall in love with this movie.
Yeah, this is not a good Will Ferrell movie at all.
It's a great one.
I give you the sentimental, but Elf comes on and
Peter Dinklage.
See, now that I know that he hated him in real life,
it's great.
That scene maybe where he kicks him out of the office, it makes it that much better now because he's actually yelling
at
him.
Get out of my life!
I may go back and rewatch it now because of that. Because I'm just like,
it's great.
Okay.
So I gave you 6 already. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, number 5.
Yukon Cornelius, all-time great, possibly related to Kenny.
Looking for gold.
The Abominable Snow Bumble, come on. Great. And it's claymation.
Right.
Lost art form.
But the fact he puts his pick in the gold and does all licks. Oh, okay. No, nothing.
Number 5, A Christmas Story.
It's my favorite Christmas
movie. Love it. I watch it every Christmas.
As long as it was in the top 10, I have no qualms. I love it. It's awkward. It's fantastic.
Now that's, I think that may actually be on TV like all the time.
They wait till Christmas Day.
And then Christmas Eve, they do it 24 hours.
Yeah, that's on all the time.
Yeah, I have it on everything so I can watch it whenever I want. Number 4, A Christmas Carol.
Never seen it.
That's the older version of Scrooge.
It is. Ebenezer Scrooge. Okay.
Where it looks 1951. Like it was filmed. Yeah, I'm out. I don't want to watch things that are 75 years old. I'm out on that.
Home Alone would be number 3.
Love it. But I like
1.
I like Home Alone 2 Escape from New York better. Celebrity guests of the Ding Dong Dang. Stay at the Plaza Hotel.
I don't know where Home Alone 2 is.
They kept Home Alone 2 off the list?
Because it's not. No, it is not on the list at all.
Well, I'm done. This list is invalid.
Oh, okay. I see what they did here. They put them together.
Oh, okay.
I respect that.
I see what they did here. They didn't want to separate them.
I hate to break it to people. It's basically the same movie.
It is.
With a geographical twist.
I mean, the fact that he's still allowed to live with his parents after they left him, not once, but
social services.
Once.
Right.
Really? World. Must be nice to have money.
Then you have Die Hard at 2 and It's a Wonderful Life at 1.
Wait a minute. Rico, how is It's a Wonderful Life number 1? That movie is
because
awful.
Mike, there are people out there that think it is the greatest movie and it's all about hope.
You know who likes that movie?
Who?
Doug Karsh.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say,
I can't prove that.
I thought you were going to say Big G. I'm like, no, because seriously, I kind of like Bad Santa. I'm like, I need to see what this movie is all about.
I'm George Bailey.
And the whole time I'm sitting there,
I hate it.
Is this the real thing?
That like, why
the
does he talk
gas
that
station
way?
Version? Like, everything about this movie is depressing. But at the very end, look at the hope. I'm like, everything about this movie is depressing.
It's
like, are we just going to overlook the fact that he stole his best friend's girlfriend while he was at war? He's at war.
It's almost like an NBA offseason.
I'm just going to give away our family. We're going to go on a honeymoon. No, honey, let's just give away all of our money to these people and be poor.
And just because people are asking on the ticket text, How the Grinch Stole Christmas is number 28.
The one with Jim Carrey or the cartoon?
Jim Carrey.
The cartoon didn't make it.
The cartoon did not make it. No.
I like the cartoon. Yeah. Oh, well. Listen, I'm not offended by much on that list. No. I'm okay with it, but that whole It's a Wonderful Life just disqualified.
Yeah, and
that's terrible.
You know,
I tried.
I'll tell you at the break.
Okay.
I saw something about the Grinch, and I was just like, wow, I need to go to sleep.
Okay,
but it's related to green eggs and ham.
Thank you, David.